passage that we read together from 1 Kings chapter 17. But I also want to put this into the context of the fact that next week we will be marking our church anniversary. In my prayer I made reference to the anniversary, and those of you who were with us last year when we celebrated our 150th anniversary will remember that our brother Conrad Mbewe in a way kept repeating that the anniversary is a time for stock taking, a time for us to sit back and to think and to measure the different responsibilities and commitments of our lives, to consider whether we can continue doing the work that we have been doing, whether in fact we need to adjust the priorities of the work that we are involved in. And to some extent, we did that as a church or as a group of church officers yesterday. We focused on aspects of the work of the church in order that we might give priority and develop the work. Those of you who are members of the church will know that each year we take up an anniversary offering. And for, I think, almost without exception in the time that I have been here, we have used that offering to give out to the work of the church in the wider world, in missionary work, sometimes in church planting in this country. But we have taken stock during this year, and we have said that the ministries that we are supporting are in fact eating into the resources that we have. And therefore we've said, right, when we give our offering next week, this will be used to, as it were, bolster the financial support of our church, and to say, yes, we believe the ministries that God has given to us are the ministries that we should be exercising, and we are going to give sacrificially in order that this work might go forward. As we stock take, we look back over the year and we thank God for those who have professed their faith in baptism. We thank God for the new members who have been added to our church. We recognize the passage of time and the fact that, as with our dear brother Ray, folk have been taken from this world and taken into eternity. We thank God for the advances that we've seen in our ministries and the answers to prayer that we've seen through the work of toddlers and Rock Junior with the new adjustments that they have made. Many of us received blessings, in particular this year when we were at Aberystwyth and the conference there. But because it's effectively a new year in the ministry of the church, how do we respond? How can this passage of Scripture that we have read this morning, how can this help us to go forward? Well, before I look at the specifics, I want to paint the background. We are in the period when Elijah is the prophet that God is using to speak his word. Ahab is the king, and sadly, he is not setting the example that he should set as a king, the leader of God's people. If you go back to the previous chapter, you will see an introduction to Ahab in chapter 16, beginning to read at verse 31. And we're describing Ahab here. We're told in verse 30 that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And in verse 31, and as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took for his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. He erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made an Asherah. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So the leadership of the country is taking them away from God and from fellowship with God. And the king, sadly, is the one who is driving that, probably under the influence of his wife. But in that situation, in our reading this morning, we focus on two particular characters: Elijah, a man called of God, and an unnamed widow, somebody who is a nobody, somebody who is insignificant. And probably a lot of us here this morning would relate to this woman, and we would say, yeah, I know, nobody cares about me, and nobody notices me. But I want you this morning, if that's how you feel, to consider this message. And if perhaps you have lived an insignificant life, remember that God sent Elijah to this woman, and she was greatly used for the furtherance of God's purpose. Ahab has led the people away from the true worship of God. But if you look at the beginning of chapter 17 and verse 1, you will see that God sends his messenger. And in chapter 1, we're introduced to Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead. And he said, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." Now, Elijah is the mouthpiece of God. He is the prophet. He is the one that God has appointed. And looking at the big picture, you've got the king leading the people away into false worship. But you have God saying, if that's the way you want to go, you will carry the consequences of it. And here in verse 1, God says there is going to be drought, there is going to be famine as a result of that drought. And in actual fact, this is me, God, saying that what I promised you about 600 years ago, in the days of Moses, when you were coming into the promised land, I am keeping my word. Because I said to you then, if you turn away from me, then I will turn away from you. And you will know the judgment of God. Friends, this morning, the God that we worship is a faithful God. He's faithful to himself. In other words, he is not variable. He's not fickle. He doesn't say one thing today and another thing tomorrow. Now, what he has said, he will do. He is faithful to himself, but he's faithful to his people. And I want to pick up the faithfulness of God to his people this morning. And the first thing that I want us to consider, having looked at this background, is to see that we have a God who speaks to his people. He is a God who has spoken, and he has spoken to us in his word. But here in verse 1, we have God speaking. Verse 2, "And the word of the Lord came to him." And that expression is used throughout this short reading that we have had this morning. God gives Elijah a message for the population of Israel. They are told that there will not be rain. But God speaks to Elijah. In verse 2, "The word of the Lord came to him," that is to Elijah, depart from here and turn eastwards. But as we go on, we find that God not only speaks to the nation as a whole, and he speaks to individual people, but in actual fact, he speaks to the birds. Now, I'm not suggesting that God is in some way demented and is having a conversation with birds. No, he is in control of the whole of his creation. Because we are told that in verse 4, you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Today, the whole of creation is under the authority of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said to us that the Lord cares for the sparrows. Here in this story, we are told that God uses ravens. God has spoken. God speaks. We can understand what is directly said here about Elijah. He had a conscious word. Now, we're not told how God spoke to him, but we are told that the word of the Lord came to him there in verse 2. But God spoke to the widow. And I want you to ponder this morning and to consider this carefully. We read about Elijah and the prophets hearing the word of God. But we here have God speaking to these people. This woman, how does she speak? How does God speak to this woman? Well, he speaks to this woman not directly as he did through Elijah, but indirectly. For Elijah, God said, Elijah, you must do this. For the widow, God said, Elijah, go to the woman and speak to her. Now, which message was more authoritative? The message that came straight from God to Elijah, or the message that came from God through Elijah to the woman? There is no difference. Each message has equal authority. And Elijah spoke with the authority of God. And we've got an example of that authority in verse 1, where he says there will be no rain. But then in verse 14, we see this. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. God is speaking to the widow. He isn't speaking directly to her. He is speaking through his messenger, Elijah. Friends, this morning, don't expect God to speak to you in an audible, individual way. Now, I believe that in providence, there are times that happens. But in our day and age, God's general way is that he speaks through the Bible that he's given to us. He speaks through people like myself, called of God to preach his word. But when the word of God is read, when a man speaks under the power of the Holy Spirit and expounding the word of God, there is no less authority in that than there is in the experience of Elijah when he heard the word of God. Friends, God speaks today through the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that in former days, God spoke to us through the prophets. But today, he has spoken to us through his Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God In effect, the Lord Jesus Christ is God's final word for humanity. Anything else that will happen in this world will happen as a result of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to hang on to the authority of God's word. We need to read the Bible knowing that God has spoken. Friends, we don't need anything else other than the Bible. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to understand the Bible, but God has spoken. And Paul assures us in his letter to Timothy that we have all that we need in the Bible. But Isaiah says this as well, that the word of God is a living word, and God has sent it forth, and it will accomplish that for which he has sent it forth, and it will not return to him void. God's word has been read this morning. You have heard it. You will respond to it, consciously or subconsciously. You will respond to it positively or negatively. But God has spoken. And God is faithful. He won't change. Now, I don't wish to be politically provocative this morning, but you think of what has been going on and being said in the last few weeks and this week with the political party conferences that have been going on. A few years ago, the Labour Party was New Labour under Tony Blair. But today, we have a different Labour under Jeremy Corbyn. What's happening? Is it Labour? Isn't it Labour? I'm not going to try to answer that. But we don't get that same confusion with God. God has spoken, and his word is unchanging. The second thing that I want you to see about God's faithfulness here this morning is the fact that God is in control. This world is not out of control. In verse 1, Elijah speaks the word of God, and he says that God has the climate in his control. There's not going to be rain until Elijah says that there will be rain. Now, we're living in a day and age when climate change is a big political issue worldwide. And I do believe that we need to acknowledge the fact that as a human race, probably we've not looked after our world as we should have looked after it. But God has not abdicated his responsibility. He is still in control of his creation. And when he withholds the rain, when he blows with a mighty wind that we call a hurricane, he is in control. And he is there to show us his power. Now, it's not always easy to accept what God wants us to do. We read this story of Elijah, and I say to you, God's spoken, God's in control. And you say, yes, Bernie, that's fine. But I want to take what God says to Elijah this morning, and I want to say to you as an individual, from now on, I want you to forget the taps that you've got in the house. And every time you want a drink, I want you to go down to the Usk and have a drink. How would you feel? You wouldn't feel too happy about that, would you? But that is what God is saying to Elijah. He says, I want you to leave your home area. In fact, I want you to go east. I want you to go across the Jordan. And I want you to live for a while by the brook Cherith. And you will drink from that brook. Surely, if God asked you to do that, you'd say, God, look, I've been faithful in my life. Surely, I deserve more than that. And God would just gently say, I've got it all under control. I know what I'm doing. Now, are there things in your life this morning, and you're thinking, God, I deserve better than that. Lord, why is it that I've been allowed to go through this? Father, I trust you, but I'm not sure that you're actually doing the best for me in this situation. Friends, let me remind you that we worship a God who is in control, a God who's spoken, a God who is a loving God, a God who throughout history has been questioned by his people and by his enemies. Even after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciples said to him, we had thought that Jesus was going to restore the kingdom to Israel. And Jesus had to show them that he was in fact doing that, but not in the way that they expected. On the day, or shortly before the day of Pentecost, 10 days before the day of Pentecost, the disciples said to him, Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he had to say to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. And friends, don't think that this world is out of control. God is still on the throne. Elijah had to go to Cherith. But I want you to see something else that's important here. God didn't simply leave Elijah at the brook Cherith, or Cherith, depending on how you pronounce it. But once the brook had started to run dry, God said to him, okay, now, if you look in verse 8, the word of the Lord came to him, arise and go to Zarephath. And Elijah had to accept that God was using the brook Cherith for a limited period. It was a limited supply. And what about your life? Do you have the attitude, well, God always worked this way in my life. This is how God has spoken to me. This is how God has blessed me. He will always do it that way. No, friends. God at times will say to us, that was for a season. I now want you to understand that I can work in this way. And I can work out my purposes in that way. And he had to understand that there was a limit on the way God was working. But God did not say, well, that's the end of it. He said, I have got an alternative supply. And I want you to notice where the alternative supply came from. For Cherith, he had to go to the east. He had to cross the Jordan. But for Zarephath, he had to go north, again, outside of the kingdom of Israel, and in fact, into the source, the place where Israel had been distracted from the true worship of God, because to the north was the country of Sidon, which I spoke to you about. It was there that Ahab's wife had come from. She had led them into idolatry, and God had said, I want you to go there. Now, we would find that difficult, wouldn't we? If we knew that a particular area, a particular person, a particular group of people had been used to turn people away from the truth, could we go there? It's not easy to understand what God was doing here. But God was at work. And God was showing Elijah that he would supply, but he would not be tied to be one particular area. Now let's look back and step back a little bit and look at these two people, Elijah and this widow in Zarephath. In many ways, they are very similar. Both of them hear the word of God. I've explained that they hear it differently. Elijah is unique in that not only does he hear the word of God, but he declares the word of God. But there's another similarity with these two people in that having heard the word, they both obeyed the word. Elijah heard directly and obeyed directly. The woman, though, heard through a messenger. And I've explained to you that there was as much authority in the message that she received through Elijah as there was in the message that Elijah received directly from God. We want to hear the word of God, but it's not always popular. Elijah had to declare the word of God, and we've seen that in verse 1 of this passage, and we have seen that God gave authority to his word. The drought came, the country was thrown into chaos, and the king responded by wanting to kill Elijah. He hasn't been the only person in history who has been threatened with his own demise because he's spoken the word of God. But God protected him. But I want you to see what happened. Elijah was hidden away for 3.5 years. And then he appeared in public. He says to a man called Obadiah, "Go and tell the king that I want to speak with him." We won't go into all the details of that. But if you flick over to the next chapter, chapter 18 and verse 17, when Ahab, the king, saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" Now, what's he doing? Ahab the king is saying, the drought, the political problems that we are facing are all a result of you, Elijah. You are constantly telling us that we're going the wrong way. Notice how Elijah answers him. Verse 18, he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals." And I want to bring that into the 21st century. Many Christians today are being criticized. People want to change the Bible because they don't like the teaching of the Bible. We are being told these are British values and you have to embrace British values. But Elijah was facing exactly the same thing. Ahab had abandoned the values that God had established. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall honor the Lord your God. You shall love your neighbor as yourself," a summary of the second part of the Ten Commandments. But Ahab had abandoned this, and he was turning the nation away. And because Elijah was prepared to stand against him, he was saying, "You're the problem." And friends, we're seeing exactly the same thing today. God has given to us the scriptures. This month, we will celebrate or mark 500 years of the beginning of the Reformation. What did the Reformation do? It took us back to the Word of God. And it showed us the truth that God has spoken. And for something like 350, 400 years, our country followed the teachings of God's Word. There were battles. There were arguments in Parliament over the Word of God. But then, in the mid-19th century, people said, oh, is the Bible quite what we expect it to be? And they turned away. Elijah was criticized for troubling Israel because the nation had moved the goalposts. Friends, as we come to our anniversary this year, I want us to hear the word that God spoke to this woman in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 17. Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Elijah had trusted God, and he had gone to the woman. The woman trusted God because she was prepared to make something. I don't know what it was. What would you make with flour and oil? The Australians have what they call damper, and it sounds a bit like that. But it was pretty basic. But Elijah says to her, give all that you have to provide for me. Now that sounds selfish, but in fact what he was saying was, give all that you have in trust to God. And as a result, God fed Elijah that day. God fed the woman and her son. And in fact, it says her household. So, did she in fact, had she been a prosperous woman and had servants? We don't know. But God supplied all her need. When did God supply her need? God supplied her need when she gave everything. The Lord Jesus Christ, towards the end of his life, was in the temple one day, and he was watching people coming in and giving their offerings. And there was a lot of fuss and noise about people dropping their big bags into the offering. And then out the corner of his eye, Christ saw a little old lady drop a couple of coins in. And Christ said, she has given more than everyone, because they have given out of their plenty. She has given out of her poverty. Friends, God is faithful. God has spoken. God is in control. And we, his people, have been given a responsibility to serve him in our day and generation. I really preach about giving, but as I conclude this message this morning, I want to ask you, as you prepare for giving next week, as part of our anniversary celebrations, are you prepared to give sacrificially? Are you prepared to give so that others might hear the gospel here in Newport, overseas, the places where we've already got missionaries, other parts of Wales, as we help different organisations throughout the UK, wherever God is pleased to bless us. This woman gave her all. Elijah lived in obedience to the word of God. And both of them knew the great blessing. So, let me apply this morning. Friends, are you prepared to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and to seek his pardon so that you might live with him eternally? Secondly, are you prepared to give sacrificially in order to see the goodness of God here on earth? I'm not offering a prosperity gospel. Elijah knew what it was to suffer, even after this. But he saw God at work in a great way. May God help each of us to do what this widow did,
to give a small amount in order that great things might be done for God. Our final hymn this morning.